This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Eek. Many of us are familiar with premenstrual syndrome or PMS, and that's when women commonly experience symptoms such as mood swings, bloating, tiredness, and many more. And this happens usually a week or so before the menstrual cycle begins. But for some women who have a condition called premenstrual dysphoric disorder or PMDD, these symptoms could be so severe that they can have a serious impact on their daily lives. So here to talk to us about PMDD and how we can distinguish it from the, well, normal premenstrual syndrome is consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, Dr. Tang Boon Ni. How are you today, Dr. Tang?
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yes. Dr. Tang, can we start with a bit of a 101 on the menstrual cycle first, you know, just to refresh our memories, as well as what's considered normal and abnormal?
Okay. Surprisingly, although half the world's population after age 12 and until age 50 will have pretty much monthly menstrual cycle, most women and girls don't actually understand what happens. And I think making things a little bit simpler may help this problem. Generally, imagine the inside of a woman, okay? There are two ovaries and a uterus. Now, remember, the uterus is to have a baby later. You know, that's the house of the baby. And that's also the container of menstrual flow. Surprisingly to many people, the uterus itself actually does not have hormonal actions. So the hormone that comes from you actually comes from the ovaries. Now, how does the ovary or how do the ovaries get activated? So when a girl is about age 11, 12, in the brain, there's this area called the pituitary. It will start being activated, if I may say so, and then the hormones will be released. Some of the hormones will be released from the pituitary. Now, these chemical agents will then travel to the ovaries to wake them up, so to say. And then the ovaries will start producing eggs and hormones. So before a girl ovulate means producing an egg, right? The first half of the cycle, we commonly call it. The hormone levels are actually quite even, okay? But starting from ovulation, the uterus is actually preparing for the potential pregnancy. Therefore, the inner layer of the uterus will be sort of stimulated in a way to produce a nice layer for the potential pregnancy to sit on. Now, how does this happen? So the female hormone called estrogen will sort of go up and then go down in the second half of the cycle. Another female hormone is called progesterone, actually goes sharply up and then goes down again just before the period start in case there is no pregnancy. So unfortunately for most women, our hormonal cycles actually go up and down in a month. So if I measure your hormonal level today compared to maybe a week later, the hormones are different. And some girls respond to these changes in hormones. And that's the origin of what we call PMS. And in a more severe form, PMDD, quite a mouthful, called premenstrual dysphoric disorder. So we shall just sort of short form it to PMDD from now on.
Sure. So that explains sort of what's happening in terms of hormone production and how the womb is preparing itself. And so when there's no pregnancy or conception that occurs, then the menstrual flow is the shedding of that layer of the uterus. Is that right? Yeah. And so because women do go through PMS, how do we understand where PMDD comes in, I suppose? How do we distinguish that?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good question because it's quite often mixed up. So what happens is that if the girl has her menses, or her periods commonly called, that actually is a sign that 2 weeks ago, she had ovulated, essentially. So after ovulation to menses, that phase is commonly called the luteal phase. Okay, it's a big scientific word, but basically it just means the 2 weeks before your menses start. And that's where most women have this hormonal go up and down, and Asians love to call it hormonal imbalance, but actually there's nothing imbalance about it. It's just that your body may react differently to the changes in the hormones. So what happens is most women during that luteal phase, that 2 weeks just before the periods, they respond to the changes in hormones by feeling a little bit low, and I'm sure you've had it before, and most girls I speak to, most women have it before. They may feel that, a little bit angry, a little bit like low, and don't feel like doing anything. If you say, come, let's go for coffee, they say, no, thank you, I'm just so tired. Yeah, so that's common, right? And that's PMS. But some girls and women actually respond to that change in the hormone severely. When I mean severe, it means they actually can't function. There's a lot of anxiety. They feel very on edge. They feel hopeless. And sometimes even suicidal. And some may sleep too much or can't sleep. And a lot of them will have a little bit of headache, swelling, muscle ache, and definitely a significant reduction in their interest in what they do normally. For example, if they normally go for a jog every evening, they feel like, oh gosh, I don't feel like it. I just want to lie down and sleep. So that's PMDD, but that's severe. Why I say that there is a difference between PMS and PMDD, just imagine having a headache. Now, everyone knows what a headache is. So you can have a headache and say, oh gosh, is this bothering me? And I'm just going to take 2 Panadol, and after a while, I feel better, I go back to my normal activity. That's kind of like PMS, okay? You can handle it. You know what's happening. You feel a little bit low. Maybe you rest a little while. You can still go on your normal activity. You can still go to school. You can still go to work. You can handle the family. PMDD is like having a terrible headache that lands you up in hospital, and you need injection, and you are vomiting, and can't function, can't open your eyes. So that's a severe headache that needs medical therapy and probably further investigation. And PMDD is sort of like that. It's very severe. Women has been known to be quite suicidal, actually, patients who suffer from PMDD during the luteal phase. So that's the difference between PMS, which most women have, and PMDD, which perhaps only about 5% of women have.
How do we know who will be more prone to responding like this and developing PMDD?
Actually, you can probably tell it from young. If you look at the family, genetic predisposition seems to matter a lot. So, if you have a sister or your mom who has got maybe that sort of symptoms, then the person may actually be more susceptible to developing PMDD. After having said that, now a lot of us think that PMDD or PMS is in the mind. Now, women who have actually gone through and having suffered from PMDD knows for sure it's definitely not in the mind, right? So they look at it, they said, look, a lot of it, of course, very scientifically, there are a lot of receptors in the brain that respond differently to different hormones in your body. And there's a lot of theory about how some women just have more susceptibility and maybe a magnified response in their brain to some of the hormones that goes on in the body that's produced by the ovaries. So how do we know? How do we know that these women have it? Well, actually, it's really not easy. And I think that's why PMDD is not often talked about. Because they may say, oh, this woman is just crazy. But if you look at it, is it really crazy? Or is it a real psychiatric disorder? So genetic susceptibility, definitely. Their brain responding differently to the existing hormones, definitely. The question, though, is how do you know? How do you tell? And that's where the difficulty is.
So in order for you to tell whether a woman who has come to you has PMDD or not, it's really just looking at her experience of it, her symptoms. Is that right?
That's right. And that's where sometimes it is the woman faced with a lot of disbelief. You know, so they go to the GP and they say, oh gosh, I'm like this and I'm like this. And the GP may say, oh, you know, even my wife has it or even I have it. So the woman sometimes is faced with a lot of this thing that, oh, it's just all in your mind. But actually it's not. A lot of it is very physical in origin. And again, I think that's why PMDD is not often talked about.
We'll go for a quick break now. And when we come back, I'd like to find out what happens when this happens to women who do experience PMDD, but it's not properly diagnosed. What are the consequences of it not being recognized and therefore not being treated? I'm speaking to Dr. Tang Boon Ni, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. We're discussing premenstrual dysphoric disorder or PMDD. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Joining me today is Dr. Tang Boon Ni, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. We're discussing something called premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or PMDD for short. It's something that's actually not really spoken about very much, and therefore women who do experience it or suffer from it are usually suffering in silence. It's basically, you know, when something that we are more familiar with, premenstrual syndrome or PMS, is a lot more severe and a lot more intense. And the 5% of women who suffer from PMDD, they are just responding differently to the menstrual hormones, the hormones in the menstrual cycle. So earlier we talked about symptoms, more severe forms of PMS symptoms like cramps and bloating and all of that, but also a lot of psychological symptoms, mood problems, feeling depressed, feeling more angry than usual, and even suicidal thoughts. So Dr. Tang, you earlier mentioned that PMDD is not really talked about, and women who come to you have already often had their symptoms dismissed in a way, perhaps by those around them or perhaps by other healthcare professionals. So what happens when women's PMDD is not properly diagnosed and treated? What are the consequences?
Maybe let's first talk about how we suspect or diagnose PMDD. And in many ways, I'm actually not the correct doctor. I'm a gynecologist. PMDD actually falls under a psychiatric disorder. It's actually been recognized. And it is placed in DSM-5, which is the sort of the handbook of mental disorders in the world. So PMDD has got a cycle to it. I think that's the difference between PMDD and the rest of the mood disorders. So generally, if a person has a mood disorder, they generally feel depressed throughout the month. They are not so cyclical. But PMDD, women can almost distinctly tell, gosh, my periods are coming. I'm going to be feeling low soon, you know. And that's the difference between PMDD and the other major depressive disorders. Now, generally, we have to have at least 2 to 3 months or even longer history of feeling that way in the luteal phase. And we look at it and we say there's no other problems. We try to roll out other exacerbating factors. Maybe has it been a really stressful time in the woman's life? And we've ruled out everything else, then it is possibly PMDD. So it is almost a diagnosis of exclusion, if you know what I mean. So what happens now is that once a girl has got these sort of symptoms, and she's not diagnosed properly, then yes, there are consequences, because we know that women have lost jobs, they've become even violent during the premenstrual phase, and you know, her boss may look at her and say, how come she's just not performing during this time? So there's a lot of consequence about it. And women generally feel quite helpless because they are actually quite misunderstood. So the consequence to the lady would be that she feels misunderstood, which further exacerbates her symptoms. But as soon as the menstrual cycle is over, she feels back to normal. And sometimes women think, oh, this could be a bipolar disorder. You know, feel good and feel bad and then feel good and then feel bad. But it is not like that. So PMDD is that they just feel horrible and they can't function. I think that's the key. They not just feel horrible, they feel depressed, but function-wise, they really is incapacitated in the second half of the cycle. So I think recognition of the disease is one of the major thing that we need to do for women, actually. So yes, being misdiagnosed and misunderstood have huge consequences. We know that relationships, you know, have been broken, you know, house has not been tidied and rubbish pile up and they look disheveled. And so, yes, there's a lot of terrible consequence from not being understood.
I can imagine how often it would be thought of as misunderstood as something in her mind or thought of as a personality trait rather than an actual physical problem.
That's right. You see, the problem with this sort of psychiatric disorder is that, you know, we've always been taught from young, you know, you have to overcome it mentally. So I imagine that women who are perhaps so-called, you know, apostrophe, stronger in their mind or have been trained to be really tough from young and trained like a soldier might mentally say, look, I'm just going to keep functioning despite me not feeling so great. And some other person may look at another lady who is not able to do that and said, why can't you do it? Why can't you be mentally strong, you know? But it is really difficult for this person suffering from PMDD to explain and say, look, my mind doesn't work like that, you know? I can't function that way. And unfortunately, there'll be a lot of judgments. And that's the way it is at the moment for a lot of women.
So then should a woman see a psychiatrist straight away then for treatment?
Yes, I actually think so, because it is essentially a psychiatric disorder. However, some of the treatments that's been prescribed that has been shown to work in women like this are quite sort of gynecological in origin. In other words, medications like hormones, and, you know, oral contraceptive pill are quite, you know, gynecological in basis. So sometimes these women end up in our clinics for treatment. And I guess you can see both, but I would say that definitely get a psychiatric assessment.
What outcomes, though, can women achieve with treatment, you know, if it's oral contraceptive pills, hormone treatment, and things like that?
Oh, huge. A lot of women, because just imagine the basis of it. The basis of it is because they respond abnormally to differences in their hormones in the luteal phase. So if we can, you know, pharmacologically try and reduce that, you know, up and down, the waveforms in the second half of the cycle, it may actually help them. So that's one of the basis of actually treatment of PMDD is actually using hormones. And the hormones are taken cyclically. That means it goes according to how the menstrual cycle is. And the 2 weeks before the menses start, they are given some hormones to sort of, you know, approximately balance things up, if you know what I mean. But again, it may not work in everyone. So sometimes, and I'll be totally honest here, the medications for PMDD or the treatment for it is quite trial and error. So some girls respond to one form of treatment and some girls don't. We generally have to try and find the right formulation for this one particular patient.
Would a hysterectomy be needed at all?
No, not at all, in fact, because remember what I said before, a hysterectomy does not solve the problem, because hysterectomy means removal of the uterus. The uterus is not a hormonal organ. It does not produce hormones. Now, some have actually gone to as drastic as removing both ovaries. Okay, now remember the ovaries are hormonal organs. And when you remove both ovaries, essentially we are taking away the female hormone from that woman's body, and she goes into menopause, right? So now, taking away both ovaries is a very, very big decision, okay? And I think that sort of decision has to be thought over and over and over again. So I would say that surgical option will be a last on the list, yeah? And if you want to know whether that will work, there are actually medications that we give to patients that actually take away the function of the ovaries temporarily. Now, if we do that and the woman feels better during that time when the ovaries are not functioning, although it's temporary, then you know, okay, the ovaries are the origin of the hormones or the PMDD of this particular patient. So that might help. So I must say that surgical option is really the last option.
All right. And speaking of menopause, presumably when the woman reaches menopause, all of this goes away?
Yes, presumably it should go away, because during menopause, the ovaries are no longer as active and so not producing as much female hormone anymore. And most women find that when they reach menopause, the mood swings sort of become a little bit more stable, if you know what I mean. Yes, I think most women, when they reach menopause, they're actually glad we are women with PMDD. Yeah.
Yep. It's a reverse, I suppose.
It's a reverse, yes.
Dr. Tang, can we talk a little bit about how society sees menstruation, you know, as you said, PMDD is not something that's openly talked about. But in the first place, I think even menstruation is not something that is acknowledged as a woman's natural, functions. And therefore, even things like being able to talk about, I'm having my period during this time, I need some time off work. Some workplaces have things like menstrual leave as a HR policy, but I think that's really not widespread. So what are your thoughts when it comes to recognizing women's menstrual problems as a significant medical problem?
I think, you know, that's actually an amazing question, because if women routinely takes menstrual leave, then half the workforce will be gone for 5 days of the month. Now, I think that's probably the problem. Not just workforce, but imagine schools and childcare centers, teachers, you know. So I think that actually is part of the problem. Women today are meant to be strong and independent and economically viable, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and therefore their responsibilities of actually producing an income and being functional, even in the house, looking after children, is immense, huge. So imagine that, you know, you take 5 days off a month, and I think that sort of concept is just not conceivable. And I think that's why menses, part of it anyway, menstrual leave is not allowed commonly and not commonly talked about. Because the moment anyone opens their mind about, oh, I've had got, X number of female staff and all of them have got menstrual problems, I think the boss will go like, oh, I'm not going to hire female anymore. So, I mean, there's a lot of issues that's actually ongoing. But I think that awareness of menstrual problem, awareness of what women go through just before and during is very important. I think part of the fault, I think, lies with women themselves, because I actually think most men are very, very open to this thought about being a little bit more sympathetic during menstrual cycles. Certainly, when I speak to husbands, they are very, very sympathetic. Quite often, it's the woman who do not want to talk about it, or the women do not acknowledge the problems they actually have with the menstrual cycle. That means, let's say they have got severe pains, they feel lousy, they say, never mind, it's normal, so I'll just accept it and soldier on. And I think that's actually part of the problem. So I think it's both ways. So maybe women themselves need to be a little bit more open. I think generally the world, especially men, are actually very open to women talking about their menstrual problems. They may not want to know the details, but they are quite sympathetic. That's what the impression I have. So yes, definitely should be more talked about. The awareness should be there. The question is, what should we do about it? Right? Now, if you know there is a problem, what do you do about it? Actually, if you interview most women, they will probably tell you that they will soldier on during that. Yeah. And I think that women today, yeah.
We have been conditioned, I think, to think that we must tahan through the pain or the discomfort.
Yeah, that's right. It's normal. We've been conditioned in a way by our own mothers from young. I say, it's normal, don't worry about it. No, the girl could be rolling in bed in pain. It's always normal, it's normal. But actually, that's the more severe form of menstrual cycles. Now, but I'm glad to say that most women don't suffer from their menstrual cycle. So if you talk to them, it's just another few days of inconvenience, but it doesn't trouble me. Most women are like that.
I know that it's probably a far bigger issue than we can address today when it comes to, what can we do about the stigma and the, the acceptance of menstrual problems. But just as a start, what do you advise your patients with PMDD if they need to talk to those around them, if they need to talk to their employers to be able to work out a solution for their immediate needs?
Yeah, I think that when there is a problem like this, as you quite rightly said, most are actually quite misunderstood. Sometimes I will get the family together. Yeah, like have a little family meeting and talking about the problem and how real it is to the lady and how she will be fine after the menses is over. So that helps. Now, employer is a little bit difficult because, the women themselves feel lousy. They don't want to work or they can't function. Sometimes I think that's, if the woman finds it difficult to explain to their employer, then maybe a letter from the doctor may help. Yeah. But I think that if they really if they are so dysfunctional during that time, which they are, then they really have to seek help and from either a gynecologist or a psychiatrist, because there are a lot of medications that will help them cope with that period of time.
All right. Do you have a final message you'd like to leave us with, Dr. Tang?
I think the final message would be, bravo for BFM to take this on, because it's a really difficult topic and something quite misunderstood. So yes, I'm hoping that more will know about PMDD, recognize their own symptoms, but don't lose hope, because PMDD can be treated. So just soldier on, and there are a lot of other things that, you can do, okay? So you can do it, women.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tang. I've been speaking to Dr. Tang Boon-Ni, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist on premenstrual dysphoric disorder. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.